Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God, and happy Sunday morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7. Today we're looking at some interesting readings that could be summarized as the importance of whether we should be or whether we should do, which is more important, and an answer to the question, does God change God's mind and does intercessory prayer work? I'm going to look at Mary and Martha to look at the first question, what is more important to be or to do? Luke 10:38-42, we find the story of Mary and Martha, and I have to confess that I have to work on being Mary because I'm probably Martha more of the time, as I find it so important to get the things done. But we're told that at the home of Mary and Martha, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by herself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord replied, You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, what I said before the reading was that I find myself sometimes being Martha, and I have to work on being Mary. But I think it would be fair to say that at times in our lives, we find ourselves being both Mary and Martha, at different times in different circumstances, depending on the need. Meaning that we either identify with the one in the background doing all the work, or the one who's wanting to sit at the feet of Jesus and attend to Jesus' words. Many of us will also use the story to refer to a seeming disparity within ourselves, sort of a fight within ourselves. Should we be sitting in contemplation more, or should we be out there doing God's work more? Surely when we look at the world, we need to be out there doing God's work, but we also need to do it and spend time from a place of prayer and spend time with God. And of course, both are absolutely necessary. We need that time in prayer and contemplation, and then we need to act because there is work to be done. Jesus, I think in this case, knew he wouldn't be with them much longer. So perhaps what he's saying is that Mary has chosen what is right because I'm here right now and I'm not going to be here in this earthly form for much longer. Mary is absorbing everything I say. She's paying me attention. She's present to me. And she will be fed and nourished through this. So to sit at Jesus' feet, learn, absorb, and be fed and nourished was what was needed right then in that situation. Martha running around feeding everyone was a commendable thing to do. There was nothing wrong with it. But it wasn't the right time. She was missing out. When we look at our own lives, I believe we do need prayer and contemplation and time with God for several reasons. Firstly, we need to grow in our relationship with God. We can only do that if we spend proper time with God, focusing on God, being present to God. Once we're busy out there doing things, we're not always that present to God's presence. We also need to do it for discernment, or to grow the gift of discernment, so that prayer doesn't just undergird our actions, but strengthens us and informs our decisions. So we go out there doing what God wants us to do in God's way, not doing what we think should be done in our own way. And if we go out blindly and uninformed without God's direction, I have found that we could actually do harm and we could burn out because we're just running on our own fuel. So it's necessary to spend time with God, to be renewed, refreshed, restored, to grow our gift of discernment, to grow our relationship with God, and then go out in the world. And it's confirmed for me in James chapter 2, as we're going to see in a moment. But first, on the Mighty Hot 102.7, let your living water flow over my soul.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Let your living water flow over my soul on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning, this is Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it is wonderful to be with you. Today we've looked at the importance of contemplation and prayer versus action, and I'm going to go along with it for a bit longer. We've heard Jesus telling Martha, when she's moaning about Mary, that Mary has chosen the right thing and it is the only thing necessary. I've suggested that we need both and that Jesus was speaking to a very specific circumstance where his time here on earth was limited. So in his earthly body, that is. And so he was saying that Mary has chosen the right thing. She's paying me attention. She's present to me. She's listening and learning from me. Let's look at James chapter 2 now. What we told in James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food comes to you, and if one of you says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And he goes on to say, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham, and I'm going to look at him a bit later, considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and he's credited to him as righteous, and he was called God's friend. You see, a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. So just re-emphasizing how important it is that we have time with God, time for contemplation, time in prayer, and then go out and do God's work, because that's what we're called to do. And it goes on in James, in the same way, not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteousness for what she did when she gave lodging to spies and sent them off in different directions. As the body without the spirit is dead, faith without deeds is dead. So again, I want to emphasize it's this constant cycle, time with God in prayer and contemplation, then action informed and strengthened by our time with God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, then back to contemplation and prayer, a time for reflection. In fact, this is where the examen becomes so powerful and so important. So what is the examen? I go out and I do the work of God. I come back in the evening, spend time with God in prayer and contemplation, reflect back on the day. Where was I present to people? Where did I show God present to people? And then how can I do things differently tomorrow when I look at what's coming? So we need to get that balance right. And when we do, we become powerful tools in the hand of God, bringing about transformation, change, healing, peace, joy, and ministering grace through God in our communities. Isn't that what the world needs so badly at this moment? One quick thought, if we look at the reading from Colossians, where we read in Colossians 1, the supremacy of God. That's what we're really reading about. And we're told the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible. And it goes on to talk about how God allowed the fullness of God to dwell in Jesus. I think this becomes very clear that the one thing that all of us and Mary and Martha are called to do is to be fully present and attentive to God. Martha is chastised by Jesus, not for practicing hospitality, but allowing it to consume her, overriding her relationship with Jesus. And so she wasn't fully present to Jesus. Mary was. I can think of times when I've been so busy running around that I've missed out on proper conversations with my guests and truly connecting with them. And maybe that is what Jesus is talking about. We need to be fully present to God at all times, even when we're busy. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, maybe it's a time for you to just sit quietly and listen to the words and receive from God. Breathe on me, breath of God.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Breathe on me, breath of God on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona. We've looked at contemplation and prayer versus action, looking at Mary and Martha, and I've spoken about how they are both important, that they flow in and out of each other. And we're now moving to Genesis and Abraham, confirming what I spoke about last week when we looked at the prophet Amos, that there is power in intercessory prayer and disaster can be averted if we get down on our knees and pray. So the first part of Genesis 18 is the three visitors appearing to Abraham and telling Abraham that he's found favor in the eyes of God and that Sarah will have a child when they come back the next time. Abraham offers these three visitors, he offers them hospitality, he wants to wash their feet, they must rest under the tree, get something to eat to be refreshed, and they say, next time when we come back, you will have a child. They do ask him where Sarah is, and he says they're in the tent, and Sarah's listening to all of them, and Abraham and Sarah are now very old, she's past the age of childbearing. Sarah laughs and thinks to herself, am I worn out and my Lord is old? Will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord says to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Isn't anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time, Next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah's afraid and lied and said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did. Then we find, so here we have this wonderful story, the fulfillment of God's promise to Abram and Sarah, the importance of walking in faith, even blind faith, when we can't see how it is possible. And God makes all things possible. So we have this wonderful assurance of our faith. When we walk in faith, when we trust in God, spend time in prayer and contemplation with God, God does bless us and God does fulfill his promise to us. And then it moves straight on to Abraham pleading for Sodom. And we're told that when the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom and Abram walked along with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram what I'm about to do? Abram will surely become a great and powerful nation. All the nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I've chosen him. He will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. And the Lord will bring to Abram what he promised. But he says the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned and went towards Sodom, but Abram remained standing before the Lord, and he says, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep them away? This is the power of intercessory prayer. Abram is really interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, okay, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I'm going to spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abram goes on and he says, what if you find 40? 45 first. Then he says, what if you find 40? And God says, okay, I will not. Then he goes on to 30. Then he goes on to 20. Then he goes on to 10. So we find here Abraham pleading with God, please, please, please do not destroy the city if there are any righteous people in it. Please, God, don't. And what do we find? God changes God's mind and says, okay, if I find 10, I won't do it. Now, if you've ever doubted the power of intercessory prayer, you need to go through the Bible and find these stories that just affirm for us how important it is that we are people of prayer. We can look at things in this world and think it's hopeless. But what we learn through Abraham, nothing is impossible with God. In their old age, God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child. And God responds to intercessory prayer and helps us through that and spares us when we ask God to. So we saw this promise coming to fruition. Sarah doubted God. Powerful lesson on how we need to remain faithful in prayer and trust God for the outcome. Nothing impossible for God, as I said. And then we see the power of intercessory prayer. So what do we learn from all of this today? Keep praying, soak everything in prayer, and out of that space, go out and do what God asks of us, soaked in prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, and God who loves us more than anything we can imagine or comprehend is faithful, and God is a God of the impossible, and we will live our lives from a place, I believe, of awe, seeing what God can and does do in and through us. To wrap up this morning, glorify thy name, and surely the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.